You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Anyways, I went downstairs and Dan was listening to like R&B, which surprised me a little
bit.
We
all get
together.
Yes, we will.
We're so
bad. Love to.
I'm just going to take credit and say that I left for a week and you all forgot how to podcast.
We didn't do it last week.
But Dan was listening to like lovemaking music down there.
What?
That's how he gets his week going, man.
He's by himself. So
I thought Derek was maybe.
Well, Derek's in the garage.
He's listening to some emo music. He doesn't like it when I call it that, but yeah.
Oh, is it like Panic at the Disco or something?
I don't know. I don't know what those bands are.
Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
That's like Fireboy. These are mainstream emo. Derek might be into that like real underground stuff.
He was listening to some heavy
instead of
heavy
crying in public. It's
screamo.
Like, oh, it's like that kind of stuff.
That's what he was last week.
There is one band, and I can't remember their name, but I started listening to them like 10 years ago, and I actually do like them, but they're a little screamy.
Yeah.
Like screamo, not heavy metal. Can't Mike Larson's going to make fun of me later for that.
Yeah, no screamo.
I'm not into the screaming.
So,
well,
what'd y'all do while
2 weeks
gone?
Off. We went to ICAST.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
How was ICAST?
It was good. I got COVID, so I was picked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Was that 2 weeks ago, or was that?
It was.
This is me backing into if Braden's still contagious.
No, I'm good. I did the counting.
ICAST was 2 weeks ago, though, right? It wasn't last week. Were you out last week?
No.
Oh. Oh, you said 2 weeks. So, did we not podcast?
We didn't record.
Oh, okay. Because Braden was sick.
Well, and
I had to work from home.
Out of town.
Our AC went out, so I was working from home.
This is all great
perfect
stuff.
Storm.
Exciting stuff. How was how was ICAST?
It's great.
I heard. I know we can't say like companies yet, but we did get some new partners, right?
Yeah, there is a. I'm still going to say potential
because
you know, until ink's on paper, I like to say potential.
We've been burned.
Jacob's conservative on that stuff.
A huge,
I'm over here like
a huge potential partner for the September timeframe. They've got some back end system stuff they have to work out before they get synced up.
Details.
And at that point, it will be major.
It'll be on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Mm.
White on rice.
All the fishing things
hot on
that
chili.
We would ever want.
Yeah.
Like,
so all the
minus
people,
bass boats.
All the people that complain all the time about not having enough fish and stuff. And we say we know.
Yeah, it's justified. We're getting there, though.
But you think, well, probably by end of year then.
Hope so.
If this goes through end of year.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, sorry to all the brands that have been waiting to come in because once they say yes, like,
right. Well, yeah, so there'll be a lot of stuff coming in. We are, I haven't talked to you to get an update, but we're also really close on some hunting stuff hitting too. So.
Yeah, majorly close. Mm-hmm. I would say, I mean, we have some waves of releases of new products coming up soon. There's one that's like late August, early September, and then another one a few weeks after that.
Yeah. So I can't explain how complicated this has been. Yeah. I know people have been waiting, and I've been saying at first I thought it was going to be June.
Yeah, everybody understand we wanted this done in June.
Yeah.
We've been saying it's 2 weeks away for sure.
What we've learned is Go Wild moves fast, but it doesn't mean our partners can move as fast as we can.
And Glenn pointed out, I was talking to him last week or something, we were on the phone, and he's like, dude, I told you.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I told you if you get done by September, you should be happy because I know how it is working with this partner.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah, not to knock our partners. This is just, we're not doing that. We're just saying.
Well, it's not the brand partners either.
It's not. It's a
go-between.
It's a mediator. But we are just used to, like, literally if tomorrow we said, you know what, we're going to make it so that there's a dance and Sasquatch on the load screen, we'd have it done in a month at most if we wanted to do that.
Or Chris,
we'd have
just
it done
do it
tomorrow.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, but I'm thinking if we followed like our normal process, it'd be like a month max.
Oh yeah,
of like tickets,
release
and
schedules,
testing it, and make sure Sasquatch works on Android and all that stuff. Like it'd be done, right? We're not used to this.
Mm-mm.
So ICAST, what did you find? Any new brands? Tell me about it. Did you guys do that? Were you looking at little brands again?
Yeah, we did. So
we struggled last time. Like they are interested, but we couldn't integrate. But then we started carrying more fishing stuff. Like we have fishing stuff here that we sell now, which is basically how we've sold like the Guggen stuff and you know, Catch Go. So
yeah, it was different this year where like me and you we're just like
the little ones,
talking to people we'd never heard of, trying to figure stuff out. Jacob did like a really good job this year of like, we had meetings, but we also had time in between. So like we,
that's so clutch. SHOT Show was like that and it was awesome.
But we also like talked about kind of like what we were looking for and like knew we were looking for a couple of specific categories. And so like we were looking down the aisles for like, can we say?
What is yeah.
It? Okay. So we were looking for like kayak accessory, kayak fishing, like that kind of thing. Just because like, saddle hunting has been such a big thing for us, and it's kind of like
the new trying to go niche.
Yeah, so like fishing. I mean,
we have a whole
niche, but actually, I mean, the one partner we're talking about is like not niche, but I think there's some brands that we're gonna be bringing in on the kayak fishing side that are gonna make it really cool and like have some things that maybe other major retailers aren't offering that people are really starting to want in a lot more quantity. So
just for context, because I don't think people are like, hey, you guys should sell more fishing gear. It is so freaking hard. Like, I could do that. If you told me you wanted a brand tomorrow in hunting, I could have it done in like 3 weeks, right? We place an order, you get the order, you can sell it, like, boom, it's done. That is not how it works on fishing. It is so hard as an e-com company to just pick this stuff up and run with it. You know, there are things that we've had to do to jump through. Because the in some ways, funny enough, in some ways, the fishing industry is a little more antiquated on how they approach e-com companies like us. And so it's just been super challenging. I mean, it's been harder to get into. We've had to really prove ourselves a little in ways we weren't used to. And so Jacob's, you know, spent the better part of 2 years trying to get to this point to where we could, you know, the technology had to catch up. But I mean, really, a lot of it's been building relationships. I mean, the same group that is in now, we talked to last year and they were out. And not a whole lot's changed. I mean, some things have changed. We won't say what, but like some things have changed. So
yeah, and I think, you know, there's the whole brick and mortar requirement that is something totally different. But some hunting brands have that, especially some like a Matthews Bows. You have to have a bow shop kind of thing.
But that's because bows are so complicated. The fishing stuff's not complicated. You know, it's just a thing that they do to weed out mom and pops.
Well, and you know what they've done though is that they've created a scenario, and this legitimately happens, where there's a dude who buys a ready-made shed at a store, throws it in his backyard, puts a sticker on the window that says he's open from 10 to 2, 3 days a week, and he can sell stuff and get a discount.
10:15 to 10:30.
Yeah, and so anytime you set a law, like you're going to get people that just try to bend that or set a rule. And so, you know, they've created a monster where there's still that stuff still happening. And if they would cultivate some good partnerships with people like us, Omnia. I mean, Omnia is a great example of somebody that's coming in e-com wise, and really do it well and work together. Different world.
Yeah. So that's good. Anything else happen at ICAST? You guys get free beers?
Free beers.
Yeah. Were there free hats? Got any good stickers to share?
Some stickers.
Did you bring Chris back a koozie?
No, screw that guy.
Braden, that was on you.
I got a Berkeley one I can give him.
Yeah, what's the coolest thing that you saw, like product wise? I saw some videos coming out.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that I would like to buy, and I was talking to Jesse Schultz. I texted him about this. I was like, you know, it's hard to see like drastic innovation at ICAST just because you go every year. It's kind of incremental over time, and. But there's this one dude who I actually found out about before the show that we went over and talked to for a little bit. It's this brand called OneCast. It's veteran-owned. He makes his own jigs, which is not uncommon. There's a lot of people out there where you can find, you know, they make their own jigs in the garage or whatever. But what he's done is he's created a jig that you can put a skirt on that's also Texas rigged.
Oh.
So it's weedless without having those wires sticking off of it.
Hmm.
And I told him this to his face, and he was like, yeah, I don't understand it. He's like, this is stupid simple. Nobody else has really done it just like this, but it's so stupid simple to make something like this. And
that's so copyable, though. Like,
did he patent?
Oh, hopefully he's going to sell it to somebody. I mean,
yeah,
he wants somebody to buy it.
Yeah, you would have to get – that's the thing. It's like, I don't even know if you could patent that.
Mm. He's getting custom hooks made now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's at ICAST. Word's going to get out. But that was the thing that, you know, to me – it's something I'm going to use constantly. That makes a lot of impact on what's exciting for me.
So it's like a reverse jig?
No, just imagine like a wide gap worm hook,
mm-hmm.
you know, that comes down, goes up, and then it's got a jig head built into it. Mm. So it's one piece, and then it also has the collar where you can have a skirt on it.
I got you.
So imagine a weedless jig with the the bristles mm-hmm. for a weed guard.
Yeah.
That goes away.
Okay.
And it's completely compact in line.
That's cool.
So, yeah. I mean, it's nothing big and crazy major, but that was interesting.
One thing I thought was cool was, I'm messing with my mic way too much. The Plano frog box.
I saw a video of that.
It was just an idea of I'd never seen that before, but like you can hang your frog, because there's really not like a fantastic way to store a frog in like a traditional box.
No, you just tangle them all together.
Well, yeah, you tangle them. Yeah. Well, and like the
you should see my bag right now after Florida South Carolina.
Like the legs and stuff, like they're all getting like tangled or whatever, bumbled up or ripped off or dry rotting or whatever. But you just like this box, you literally can hang your frogs. And I forget who it was over there I was talking to. It might have been Jen. I was like, I want to get that so that it would force me to buy like 50 frogs.
Is it
like
collapsing under the hooks or is it hanging through the front?
Through like the eyelet up on the front, top. Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say that's not really helping you if it's going into.
They're literally hanging like this.
That's like cool. Just so the feet are down.
Yeah, and they're just dangling down at the bottom, and you open it up, and you can just like grab your little frogs out of it.
And all those Plano Edge boxes usually come with a moisture management.
Thing. Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
Desiccant.
Yeah, and that's, it's just like kind of like what you're saying. Like there's just like little weird things that people are finding.
There was a lot of salt. I saw most conversation I've seen from the outside looking in, even 2 weeks later, was the salt reel. Was there some kind of special reel? I saw
the blue one. Penn released a new spinning reel, saltwater spinning reel.
It was spinning reels.
40
I saw.
Pounds of drag. Really? I mean, you cinch that thing crazy. Down and you cannot turn it. It was insane.
I could have used that.
What was that like $3,000 fly reel that we were messing with?
The Hardy. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. The title's the one they released last year.
You said Jen, so were you at a press release event with
Her? Yeah, or Pure Fishing.
You get some good swag.
Yeah, they no Yeti this time. We did get another Plano.
That's because you took like 13 of them last time.
That is not true. Jen, I would not do that to you.
It was 12.
I would have mailed you and said to me.
We got some more of those cool cool bags, though.
Oh, yeah.
Plano bags.
Yeah.
We got a topwater.
Yeah, sweet topwater lure.
You know, I miss spending thousands of dollars to go to Florida to get free stuff.
It's great.
it's always funny how you think about that. It's like going to Vegas and getting free stuff if SHOT Show wasn't like super expensive.
Yeah. It paid off this year, though, man.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It's good. No, I mean.
And we got to see some people. That we've been, it's always good, like, see the people you've been building relationships with, like Bailey from Gunpowder and Pure Fishing, and to actually shake his hand and talk to him.
That's how you get these brands in, you know? So you got to build the relationship.
So when I email him now, he knows.
He's got the, you're the guy.
He was a beast, like, tournament angler. That was fun to talk to him about. Like, he had done he had done five kayak bass fishing tournaments. And
the
he
owner came of Pure Fishing, or what?
He works for Gunpowder,
the agency
that does their PR and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's on the freshwater side.
Yeah, he entered five tournaments and he won one, came in like fifth and came in 12th, which is like insane, like to do that. So he must be.
Dude, my guide that I use, George Tangelos down in South Carolina, is number one right now in this giant like national saltwater competition, and he was supposed to fish it this weekend, but he said the water he's like, I don't think I'm gonna go because it's gonna be so bad.
He fish it for, like, is it a specific species or like how does that work?
Dude, I don't know enough about saltwater tournaments to tell you.
I don't know anything
but
about it.
I think they do target certain species, but whatever, like literally number one out of like the whole coast. And he said he travels down to Mexico and fishes these things. I mean, dude was a G. Well, Casey from Toadfish was the one that introduced me to him. And he said, you'll have the most fun and catch the most fish with George. So I went with George. I have lots of questions for you. Like,
see what I can do.
Yeah. So
here we go.
First of all, how much time do we have? It's a real question. What do we got
left there?
What do we get?
You got about 16.
Okay. So I want to start with surf fishing because I've done this for like 3 years talking to you where I have total crap luck. But the first two times I've done it, I think we're on Florida side. Mm-hmm. And then South Carolina was totally different.
Yeah.
And so I started off with the spoon. And I went out and like one wheeled around the beach, which was fun. You can only do that in so many places. But I'm like, this water is so dark. I don't think this is going to work. So I tried the fluke and I tried the juice. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking for. That's when I talk to you, and you know, you kind of help me find some spots. Like reading a beach is really hard, and it's not something like I get to do all the time from Kentucky. So I'm like a once a year, and then even then, like 2 days a year, get to try this. So Jacob helped me find some good spots. But later I was talking to George, and George is like, oh, yeah, you're not going to catch anything over there. Oh. And I was
– Great.
I was like, well, you know, why not? And he's like, well, think about it. Nobody's like, hey, that's a great beach for fishing. I'm going to go set up with my family. He's like, because fish love structure and you hate structure. And I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense.
There you go.
And he's like, yeah, beaches don't just populate around like good fishing areas. It pretty much doesn't happen. Yep. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, you would think something, right? Like I've fished this twice now and I've got absolutely, or maybe at that time, maybe it was once. I was like, I fished for an hour and I would have thought I would have gotten some kind of bite or something. But I was talking to him and he said pretty much you fish Florida mostly, right? With the spoon. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're not going to catch anything on that because of the scent, right? Like everything's scent based. And it reminded me of what Mike told me up in Michigan. Cause I asked Mike about fishing Lake Michigan with a spoon or something like that too. And he's like, dude, it's so muddy that you pretty much, unless they can smell it, they can't even see it to hit it.
Yeah.
And the water down there, I mean, like, not even a foot of visibility for me. And I would imagine the fish are pretty similar in what they can see. So I then, this is where Jacob made fun of me. I went to the tackle store or a tackle shop. And I was talking to this woman and she said the same thing. She's like, yeah, you're not going to catch anything off. I was like, what artificial do you have that might work? And she's like, pretty much none of it, but you could buy these five things if you wanted to. And I'm like, well, I don't want to just spend money.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
It's not burning a hole in my pocket.
They always recommend fish bites. And you were giving me hell over the fish bites. And I just want to hear like
what's a fish bite?
It's like this artificial shrimp or squid or
you know. It's bubble tape.
But it is bubble tape with scent on it, and it's colored to look like whatever you're fishing.
So if you put fish bites on a spoon, you now have your scent on your spoon.
Yeah.
He's a fishing guide, so he knows what he's talking about.
Here's the thing. Your level of happiness and his is different, right? Like he wants to catch a monster, and you'd probably be happy fishing with your son catching – consistent, right?
Well, and so the other thing with a spoon, if it's bright sun out and the water's muddy, that's going to pick up whatever light's getting through the water. So I wouldn't say it's a dead tactic, but the fish bites, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me. Like that, you know.
I was making fun of him. I said, what is that little Lego we saw him at ICAST? I was like, what the heck is that?
They're very popular.
That's what he said.
People at the beach.
Well, because it's easy. That's what everybody's telling me to go buy live or dead bait. And I'm like, dude, I don't have time to deal with that. You know, it's like, I don't want to go and like have to ice down my bait all the time. My wife's going to murder me if I put a bunch of dead shrimp in the fridge, like that's like for fishing, that covered in fishing junk. And
then
stuff.
You need a knife. You got to take a knife. You got to take something to cut it on.
Well, I had a knife. So I ended up fishing with a crab one day. I caught a crab and I was like, why did I not think to do this sooner? And I was trying to figure out how to find the sand fleas because I know you can find them down there, but it's different than finding them in Florida. I think from what I know about them, they're easier to spot in that softer sand where you can see those antenna. I mean, this is like concrete that you're scooping them up, but how do you find them? How do you find where they are?
You don't. You just start scooping. I mean, that's how we did it in Myrtle Beach as a kid, fishing with my dad. You literally just scoop your hands down in, let the water wash away the sand, see if you got one. Yeah. If not, you keep going.
I guess I'm too impatient.
You scoop the entire ocean.
I know. Yes. I'm too impatient for that.
Addicted to China.
So, but I was like, I really should have spent, you know, 10 minutes in the morning finding crabs because that would have been the hot ticket. But then the other thing, I fished that pond with that frog, and I was telling you I was seeing something jumping. She said those are brackish ponds. There's only one freshwater lake where I was, and it's a mile back. But all of that's brackish. And she's like, oh, yeah, none of your bass rigs are going to work back there. I said, well, I was fishing a frog. And she said, that's literally one of the only things because they're used to eating frogs. But she said pretty much nothing else is going to work. And she said fish bites.
Of course. I think they're all invested in fish bites.
One size fits all.
They didn't even have that much. There was three options. There was shrimp, squid, and something else.
I
don't know. But it was very interesting because I could see like both sides of it. But she pretty much told me. She said live bait's pretty much the only guaranteed down here.
Because
it's so muddy.
Yep.
But the pond was nuts. She said they're mullet that are jumping. And that what I thought was a freshwater pond also, I got my frog stuck in a tree the first morning because there was a lot of action. The only action on my side of the pond was around this sunken tree, and it's still alive, so there's a lot of foliage.
Yeah.
And I was doing good, and then I got it stuck, but it's like 10 feet in front of me, and there's 3 feet of water, maybe five, 3 to 5 feet that I would have to wade out and get it. And I'm like, there's a lot of gators around here, but I'm like, but that's my only frog of that color for the week, so I'm going to do it. So I waded out and got it and came back. And then later that day, my wife's like, why are you wet? And I was like, well, I went out and got my frog. And she's like, are you stupid? And I was like, no, it's fine. I didn't see anything. There were no gators out there. There was no, and it is clear. You could like, I mean, it's dark, but it's like clear right there. I could see the bottom.
I don't know.
He's making so many excuses.
I don't think.
I walked back out there later just to see if the fish were still jumping like 3 hours later. And there is a like 6 foot gator right in that spot looking at me. And I was like, okay, Kentucky boy is going back inside.
This is like Florida man.
Florida man.
Yeah.
Kentucky man.
Yeah, so then my wife tells me that she needs to get herself ready for the market because I'm high risk, apparently.
Dude, I meant to say this when we were talking about ICAST, but a couple cool things that happened. We walked up, you said Toadfish earlier. They were well aware of like who we are, and they were like, you guys are killing it. We're super pumped about being part of you guys. Even cooler than that, we walked up to the Under Armour booth, and he was like,
I saw you, got
you guys
sticker.
Are the you guys are the Go Wild guys? And we were like, yeah. We are.
Who was it?
Yeah, that us.
That's us.
Who'd you talk to?
I don't know.
You don't remember his name?
He's like, they knew us, but we didn't know them.
Yeah, we're big time. He didn't have cards. He gave me a huge truck sticker. It's on the truck.
I saw your truck, yeah.
He didn't have cards on him. That was like late in the day.
Yeah,
that's cool. I think it was Patrick, but I don't know.
That's cool. Yeah, we've known them since 2019, talking to different people at Under Armour. That's cool.
It's just fun being
at I haven't talked to him in fishing side, so that's cool. They knew about us. Yeah,
they were cutting up a huge tuna.
He's hunt fish.
The other thing I was going to tell you about was the fishing trip. So we were supposed to go after king mackerel. It was too late. He said cobia died in like early June. Like they just stopped biting. But we were supposed to go out, and we got heading out, and he's like, we're going to go see what it's like. And we get almost out of the sound or this channel we're in. And he's like, we're hitting some chop. I mean like pretty big swells. And he's like, we can go out and you can try. And we will not catch anything, and you might get sick, and you're not, even if you get one, you're going to be bouncing around so much, you won't be able to reel it in. And he seemed super confident in this. And I said, well, okay. And he's like, I did this 2 days ago, and they wanted to go out, and I told them we shouldn't, and we did anyways. And they were pissed that they didn't catch anything after a 3-quarter day trip. And he's like, it's like, I told you, he said, or we can stay here, troll and see what we get. So I was like, okay, let's do that. And I don't know, pretty quick. Like, we tried one spot for 20 minutes. And this is one thing I really liked about him is, like, boom, we're gone. He's like, I don't like this. We're moving. So we moved somewhere else. He wasn't, like, very aggressive on trying to make sure we caught something. But we ended up, literally, I was hoping. He said tarpon come through there. He's like, we had a tarpon on the line. Those are super fun.
Yeah.
You know, this was the day before that he had done, or 2 days ago when it, or no, day before they had had a tarpon on. He's like, I don't know what we'll get into because there's a lot of stuff coming through here, and it was a tide change. Literally, the entire town was just sharks and stingrays. And he's like, I've caught 2 stingrays all year, and we caught 4 in our trip. And the, have you ever caught one?
Mm-hmm.
A big one?
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. Like,
I mean, they're fun to fight.
Yeah.
No, once you get it up on the beach trying to unhook it.
Well, we weren't dealing with that. But
good luck.
The other thing I told him, I was like, can't you eat those? And he's like, I don't know anybody that eats them. And I was like, well, they do, really? Because they bowfish them. And you don't usually bowfish unless you're going to eat it, unless it's carp.
I have heard that there is sometimes when you buy scallops, it is actually punched out stingray.
No kidding.
Because it's similar consistency.
Dude, I mean, we cut the first one loose, and it was close to 3 feet wide, the first one I caught. And he said,
how do they fight? Like, it insane. Seems like
a halibut. It's like a halibut. And, trying to pull them up. Or a flounder. Jacob's probably caught flounder, too. You probably could vouch that it's similar.
But harder.
So they're not jerking around. It's just like they're just they'll so run. Much mass.
Yeah, they'll run, and then they just try to bury themselves. And try to
I caught a 25-pound halibut in Alaska, and the 30-pound stingray that I caught this last week was way harder because they run. Halibut at a certain point, once you get halibut up to the surface, they seem to kind of give up.
That's the way flounder.
And the stingray though, multiple times you get them to the top and you just and you're like, all right, here we go again. My sister caught a almost 6 foot long black tip shark, which like absolutely killed her. I mean, it was really fun to watch. I mean, it's probably 25 minutes. And so she hook set into that and, she's like got the belt on and everything going to town. And my sister's not weak. She works out all the time. She's like CrossFit junkie, probably stronger than I am. And even though she's like 5 foot nothing. So she's like going to town. George is helping her with this. There's all kinds of action on the other side of the boat because this thing's whipping her all over the place. And I hooked into something and it was, I've done these trips quite a bit and, you know, they're always hard, even if it's like a 5 to 10 pound red snapper. But this was like to the bottom. And I'm like, I can't do anything. I think it was, he said he thought it was either a shark, like a massive shark or a massive stingray. And this went, the line runs out and I spend the next 20 minutes like, all my might, everything I have. You've seen that video that's going around of the guy who's like, whoa, just dying as the gets pulled overboard on. His veins are popping out of his head. That's what I felt like.
Jeez.
I have a bruise that's like this big on my leg from where this thing had me pulled up against the rail, and I'm trying to pull back for 20 minutes.
Jeez.
And finally, it got to where the current had pulled the boat. I don't think this thing was really moving because everything I had pulling it up, and I would reel and the drag's just going. And it's that the salt line that has the colors variation so you can see if it's going. I'm getting nowhere. And I'm just pulling and dragging and pulling and dragging. And I'm like, dude, it's going under the boat. And he's like, this is you're going to have to figure it out on your own situation right now, Brad. And I'm like, okay, because he's over here dealing with my sister and there's only one of him.
Oh.
And I'm like, dude, it's going under the boat. I'm like, I know I'm getting ready to lose this thing. And the line snaps and I'm like, I'm actually relieved right now. I'm like, I don't think I could have gotten that fish up without him coming over to help me. And then my man card would have been like relieved, but it was fun. We got to, Atlantic sharp nose sharks that were smaller and they're apparently like of literally no concern on the
bite scale.
I meant the endangered species. Like they're very common. You can't keep the black tips. There's certain ones you can't keep at all.
Yeah. I think like no slot or anything on a black tip. It's just hard stop.
There's a bunch of Atlantic sharks you cannot even there's no slot. There you can't keep anything. The black tips are he told us we couldn't keep those. So I don't know. Maybe there's a slot, but these weren't big. Usually it's the bigger ones that are like because they're the breeders. Usually in salt, bigger fish or there'll be a size that's pretty big that you cannot take.
Yeah, okay. They do protective slots, so it'll be under 19 inches and over 30 inches. You can't keep outside of that.
But the we couldn't keep those. But I got like two or four really big fillets off of the sharp nose, and I cooked it up last night on the grill, and then I put it into pasta. So it was awesome. Was that the 1 minute sign?
It was. I was trying to be discreet. I thought that's cool.
We don't know what we're doing. They know that. All right. Well, more stories, and you all probably did too for my cast, but that's what happens when we don't do this every week.
We had pent up stories.
Same bat time, same bat place.
All right. Make sure you guys log this. Hit the plus button, Log Time Outdoor Podcast. You got Erica Johnson, Brad Luttrell, Braden Ware, and Jacob Knight. Thanks for listening.